BitCo is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for downloading the Tech Central podcast. I'm Duncan MacLeod. I'm at the Cape Town International Convention Center today for the FTTX Council Africa Conference, where the Minister of Telecommunications and Postal Services, Dr. Siyabonga Ncwele, has just spoken. Minister Ncwele joins me now for a quick discussion on a range of topics. Thank you for joining us on Tech Central, Minister.
Thank you and good morning.
Morning. First of all, you mentioned in your presentation that government is finally moving ahead with a policy to fast-track the deployment of infrastructure. I think many in the industry have been waiting for a long time for this. Please can you take Tech Central's listeners through what government is doing in this regard, the mechanics of it, and why it's important?
Yes. Firstly, we have set up the national trust teams to actually expedite this policy because it is key for the investors who want to deploy their infrastructure. It is key to the current operators who want to expand their infrastructure. The aim of the policy is to coordinate and facilitate the deployment of infrastructure, particularly in our cities, in a manner which will reduce the costs drastically for the operators to deploy their networks. The first principle we are using in our policy is that the property owners, particularly municipalities, because they are the largest owner of properties where we lay this infrastructure, particularly fiber infrastructure, must not see these network operators as cash cows, but must see them as instruments of development, must see them as an instrument of creating actually smart cities, smart villages, and improving the social well-being of their own citizens. So that's why it aims to fast-track the approvals. It aims to minimize the cost. It aims to create common away leaves and ducts in our municipalities so that we also protect our environment and just remove the bureaucracy in processing these things. The sooner we can have a wide network of this infrastructure, that's what will become a backhaul infrastructure for our mobile networks, our next generation of mobile, our satellite networks, and all other technologies. But you cannot really not even think of a smart city if you don't facilitate such development. That's our approach to it. The teams are doing first thing. One, the first one is led by our department under the Nyiko Didi Ngobeni, and to make sure that we deal with structures and institutional mechanism at a national, provincial, and local level, which are coordinated so that when you go to Bethlehem, you are not meeting hurdles as compared to going to Klerksdorp. So you must face the same thing, as the CEO of SALCA was saying. Whether you go to Johannesburg, you must face the same type of regulation as whether you're going to Nelson Mandela, so that people don't just come with artificial additional costs or taxation to the operators. The other work stream is led by our regulator, ICASA, which is looking at what should be the effective regulation which facilitate rapid deployment and remove the bureaucracies, even the regulatory barriers, and allow for this sharing of the infrastructure and leeways in our facility. And the last one is led by SALGA, which is a local government association, coordinating municipalities, first making sure that they know what is this digital economy, what is this smart city, what are the advantages of allowing this infrastructure, but also coming up with common policies and regulations on how we should maintain this infrastructure, how we should protect our environment, why we should protect our roads, how we should make sure that we don't interfere with other networks, whether is it water and so on, but allow the infrastructure. Our courts have ruled that the operators have got the right to deploy their infrastructure. All what we are doing, that's what has been in our policy, in our legislation, to make sure that we work in a coordinated manner. If we can attract more investment in the townships, in the small dorpies, in taking this fiber infrastructure to our businesses, there's no business which should survive if it doesn't have this IoT in the future, if it doesn't use these broadband networks. So we must make sure that all our industrial areas are connected to the fiber soon.
So I think the industry will certainly welcome progress on the fast travel, these guidelines around this.
Yes. Let me just say that the teams are meeting monthly.
Okay.
I demand the reports from the DGG, who's the coordinator, so that we can also take brief the cabinet on the formation of this national institutional mechanism. Our approach, for instance, we think because this digitization and broadband is so important, it cannot be the matter which is just left to an ordinary minister of telecommunication, whether it's Sabong or anybody in the future. It should be something which is coordinated at a higher level, maybe at a deputy president or the presidential level, so that it get that stature for us that we are a digitizing nation. If you check what has happened in those countries where there's made progress, whether is it Mauritius, whether is it in Europe, those who are leading in Europe, it was where the office at the highest level takes leadership of coordinating these activities for digitalization.
There's obviously a lot of work that has to be done here and multiple entities and stakeholders that have to be involved. Have you set a deadline for when this work must be completed? This is what we want by this time.
We don't think all the work will be completed, but we want before the end of this calendar year, not financial year, to take something to cabinet.
Okay.
At least as a method which you can publish as a starting point, so that the current operators or investors, particularly in this climate of our economy, the broadband, we are prioritizing it, even working closer with National Treasury, we are coordinating our efforts that we should attract more investment. We must remove more barriers so that this investment can come.
So what is it exactly that you're hoping to take to cabinet? Will it be a policy leading to legislation? Or
it's an implementation plan of the policy.
Okay, and cabinet will then ratify that? And then
if they ratify it, then we can gazette it. Some of the elements of it may not need legislation. Others may become part of the legislation which we are finalizing.
Understood.
Yeah. But in our view, most of it don't require any further legislation, because even the current legislation covers those aspects. It has been the implementation mechanism which has been the problem.
Okay. So cabinet gives its approval, and then the various arms of government then go through the processes of implementing and doing what's necessary. Okay. Understood. Let's talk a bit about some of the other aspects of the ICT policy white paper and their implementation. You commissioned the CSIR to conduct a study recently on how much spectrum the proposed wholesale open access network, or WOAN, will need to provide services, with the rest then to be allocated in the normal course of business to commercial operators. What is the current status of the CSIR's work? Have they handed their report to you yet?
We are busy finalizing with that work with CSIR. I've received the initial brief.
Okay.
They've gone back to refine some of the aspects. Once we get a slot in the cabinet, we'll have to brief the cabinet, because, as you know, we said our policy is not changing. but we are taking this extraordinary measure to help us to boost the growth in the economy, to do the scientific study which will say this is what will be the adequate or sufficient capacity to own, and the rest, then it won't be any more defined as high demand spectrum for that range, for this type of technology. Then it have to be the license which will help the capacity constraints our operators or new operators who need to come in are facing at the current phase.
Okay.
It is one of the things we announced with Minister Kikaba that we're hoping that by end of this year, calendar year two, we should have made some form of determination and then what to do and put a plan on what to do with the extra spectrum which may be required remaining. The reason why we took this decision is that operators have already made some investment, particularly in the 4G networks. we said the study, some of the key things we said they must refine this SIR, because they look at a different type of a level of a 4G network, but we're saying they must also include the latest form of what would be required in a 4G network by the mobile operators, so that we can, when we go to cabinet, we can go with all those facts. And I'll be going there to motivate in my among my cabinet colleagues with the hope that they will adopt whatever we present, then announce it to the public.
Okay. So we'll only get sight of the CSIR report after it's been presented to
the cabinet? It has to go through the cabinet,
okay,
because policy has to be is a common cabinet decision.
And that will happen this calendar year still?
I'm quite confident it will. As I said, I've had the first meeting with CSIR. They are just refining certain things with our spectrum people so that we go there with a solid evidence. We don't want to go to cabinet. Our cabinet colleagues scrutinize things a lot. We don't want to go there and find out the options. We have not looked at all the options so that we can present options to them. Thank you.
Okay. And you can't give us any insight at this stage into what's contained in that report?
I can't say whether they say there's any spectrum which should be left or the sound spectrum which should be left, but I hope there will be sound spectrum which should be left.
But would you envisage that it's only a small percentage of the spectrum that gets allocated to the Huawei and the majority then gets allocated
That's
to commercial operators? Because the commercial operators are obviously hoping that the bulk of that spectrum gets allocated to them and that a sliver of it is allocated to the Huawei. Do you see it the other way around? Do you think the Huawei should be getting the majority of the spectrum and the commercial operators that small sliver?
No, the policy really sees Warren retaining all the spectrum. So now we're trying to say he must have sufficient spectrum to deal with all the needs for the future. Must remember also that the current people using these facilities, it's not everybody. We still got 22 million who are not using the internet. So whatever study we're making it in the 52% who are currently using internet. So we must also factor those things. What are the scenarios when you bring particularly these low-income people who are outside now? And bearing in mind that we have to have come up with more affordable internet as we go forward. So those are the scenarios they are putting in. And once they finalize all those things, I'm still praying that there'll be sufficient spectrum to deal with the capacity challenges which are faced by the current operators and the potential new incumbents.
All right, leave that issue there. Mm. Now, you've been at loggerheads with the communications regulator, ICASA, over how to allocate spectrum. ICASA wants to auction off high-demand spectrum. Has there been any progress on that impasse? Are you still heading to court?
That is still in court. We hope that we can take it out of court. My official has been engaging them. I've written to them, and I hope the new minister will arrange a meeting with the new minister. Because the sooner we take those things out of court, because they don't add any value, keeping ourselves in court, and do what we have done together with the industry. Engage on things and implement things. My wish is that we can be in the phase of doing things, but proper things. The policy doesn't really say we should prioritize auctioning or not. If I'm in the national treasury, I say auction all the spectrum because sure. I just want quick money now. But as a country, we don't need quick bucks. We need sustainable development. That's what
I think Minister Gigaba might need some quick bucks, actually.
No. I'm just saying, as national treasury, any national treasury official will say, can you sell this? Can you sell this thing which you can sell quickly?
Sure.
And that's understandable because they are looking for revenue. But for us, from the policy perspective, we are looking for sustainable development. We are looking for affordable development for our people. So that's why we are saying we must first assess whether the auctioning is the best model for a developing country like ours. Or should we give the spectrum to create more competition? Or should we donate spectrum or give spectrum at a cheaper rate and allow the operator spend more time deploying the infrastructure? So those are the options we'll have to really base. My personal thing that we should not look at making huge profits through spectrum sales. Every conference I've attended recently warns against this. Recently, I was in New York in the Broadband Council as a member of the Broadband Council. Very reputable professors and academics are warning against this rush to auctions and moving towards a rush to access for all. Mm-hmm. So those are the trade-offs we'll have to make if you come to those decisions. I'm not saying, bearing in mind our NDP, which is our policy we're implementing, it does talk about efficient allocation of spectrum. The question is whether auctioning is the only efficient method of allocation of spectrum. I guess not.
Okay.
In a developing country like ours.
Right.
Thank you.
So how much of an issue is it? I mean, just talking about the Sikasa case and the fact that you've been at loggerheads over this issue for so long, how much of an issue is it that the Department of Communications was split in two and there are now two ministries? Sikasa now reports into the Ministry of Communications. How much of a problem is this?
No, I don't think that one is at play at all. Even with the former minister, Mtambi, we're in total agreement.
Total agreement on the ICASA matter.
The issue on the ICASA approach. Mm-hmm. Even with the current minister, we're still in agreement. What we are doing, because ICASA is an organ of state. We are an organ of state. Organs of state in our constitutional arrangement, normally under ideal conditions, shouldn't be taking each other to court. We should find alternative methods of dispute mechanism resolution. That's what I suggested to them even at the beginning.
So what's the problem? What's the root cause of this conflict?
I hope I'll know, because I won't be spending so much money or allowing CASA to spend so much money on lawyers, because they are the only beneficiaries in this case.
But seriously, I mean, you've got two arms effectively of government fighting with each other. What is the cause of it?
No, I'm not fighting them. All what I'm trying to represent is the basic interests of South African. As a policymaker, as a minister, I have a responsibility to ensure that whatever policy we put doesn't only benefit the have-nots, or the haves, but also benefit the have-nots. The policy for me is not just only to deal with the current operators, but potential new entrants. So I think that's where the tension is. My sense is that the regulator was more concerned about the outcry of the current operators. I'm not saying I'm not sympathetic to them, but as I said before, I'm more concerned about effective competition. to just throw the national resources to solidify duopolies and monopolies, I don't think that'd be the solution. As government, as society, we are having pressure on the data must fall. It's the reality of South Africa. So the data can't fall if you have got monopolies or duopolies. It will only go down where there is effective competition. So as a government of the ANC, we are pushing for effective competition in our sector and lowering of the barriers. It's only when we have got you running your own network, whether it's a virtual network, and use your innovative skills, you can run your network over other networks, that we can have better services to our people. We are for the people. Yes, the current operators are also our people as juristic person, but they are not the only people. So we must think of all the people. So I think that's where the tension is. Mm. And that's what we are trying to resolve. We are continuing to engage with them. And I'm sure we'll find a solution, because it's not best. Even when we're engaging with the industry, they also think that we should come out of court. I think what we've been doing with the industry, engaging on the implementation of policy, has been most useful in my regard. Because that's where you can take information based on evidence. Even if you know your strategic goal is to reach that point by 2030, but you can say, let me take this small detour, which make me to jump this hurdle so that we can move forward, because we are all implementing the NTP. That's an obligation, that's a promise we have made to our people by 2030.
Just lastly, Minister, before I let you go, you and your department have just returned from the ITU's big annual conference in South Korea. The event is, I now understand, coming to South Africa next year. Is that correct?
Yes.
What do you expect from the event, and why is it so important that we host it here?
There are two elements. We were approached firstly by the ITU during our BRICS meetings in end of July in China, saying that they were hoping this event could be hosted in Africa, because it's about development, it's about allowing SMMEs, it's about the industry itself. And but through their assessment teams, they were thinking the countries, I can't remember which one, which have put their proposal forward, they didn't have the adequate infrastructure to host such infrastructure of that magnitude. We then immediately went to our cabinet, and we involved all the departments through our cluster systems, consulting them. There was an overwhelming support. The first reason why we think it's important that we should first host this thing as Africans, there's a lot of development and innovation coming out of Africa as a continent. Two, there's a lot of investment opportunities. It's the only area really of real growth in the ICT for the telecom operators, for infrastructure companies and IT companies. So we're looking that as South Africa as a gateway to investment to Africa. Thirdly, we want to showcase our own innovation. Under Minister Pandor, we have got this high-end, really cutting-edge innovation and new technologies, particularly which are relevant to the developing countries. We are playing a leading role in the IoTs for developing countries, whether it's CSIR and other agencies which are there. Our small companies are doing a lot of work. Like I was saying, some of them who were there were coming as far as the small province of Northern Cape, but coming up with cutting-edge technologies on which is related to consumers, like Ren My Posey guys. Others are looking at the Internet of Things for mining operations, which will drastically reduce the cost of mining and the rate of injuries in the mining. So those are huge technologies which we want to display. Our companies are quite vibrant. They want to expand, all the whether you're talking of the telecom operators, they want to expand beyond the African continent. We want to showcase them. But the tourism, the business tourism, which is brought by this about 6,000 or 9,000 people who will then descend in South Africa, the revenue streams we have calculated, they'll be far more outweigh the cost.
So what sort of numbers are we talking about? I know there was a release.
It's about 9,000 people really.
Yeah. And I saw a figure that I think that your department published saying about 81 million rand in investments, inward investments during that period.
That's what the Department of Tourism, as I said, we engage all the department. That figure came from the estimate from our tourism department.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And where is the conference going to be hosted? Which city?
It's Durban.
Durban.
We look at Durban. We looked at Johannesburg. We look at Cape Town because they've got big venues. The key thing is to have a conference venue where you have a large exhibition area. So those type of things which can accommodate this type of industries either here in Cape Town, in Johannesburg, or in Durban. Durban was the first one to respond because we're constrained with time. Mm-hmm. We have to give an indication. Johannesburg couldn't respond in time. Cape Town couldn't respond in time. They were still investigating because you must have these dates available, particularly in early September next year, because we've just got 1 year. So it was in that respect that Durban came with a proposal. They were partnering with us, and we also got sufficient bed space. So those are the factors which we, but they do have a huge exhibition hall just next to the ICC.
Siyabonga Qwele is Minister of Telecommunications and Postal Services. Thank you for speaking to Tech Central today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.